Welcome.
Happy Valentine's Day, Eve, Saul.
Oh, no, I knew I forgot something.
Roses.
I got time.
You got till the end of the podcast.
Not a lot, but I got time.
We should both wear these hats the whole time.
So what are you doing for your kids tomorrow? Are you having a little Valentine's party with?
I don't know. We have an assembly at school to celebrate Santo Valentino.
Nice.
That's maybe not an accurate name, but so we'll see what Stugo has in store for our kids.
That's cool.
I don't have anything.
That's more than I think we have planned here in America, so.
Maybe if I was an elementary teacher, yeah. I would be, you know, because back in elementary school, that was a fun / really awkward day giving Valentine's to everyone else in class, you know. That was, those were some good memories.
There was always a person or persons that just weren't comfortable giving it to, or your parents questioned whether, you know.
I'll start with a quick anecdote about that. I remember fourth grade, there was a girl I had a giant crush on, and I got a real Valentine's Day card for her, like Hallmark style. And everyone had their shoebox at the front of the room, and you went and you stuck your Valentine's in it. But my card, being a legitimate card, was too big to fit into the slot she had cut in her shoebox. So I was up there just super awkwardly trying to, like, jam it in there. It was a disaster.
But whatever happened to that girl?
I don't know. I think she's married with kids now.
Anyway, on the bright side, we're back. I'm sorry about last night. If the word was out that we were supposed to pod last night, it's all my fault because I was at school with conferences and I was planning on doing it for my classroom, but there was some network issues with the Google Hangouts, but
internet blockivity.
I'm not blaming anyone. I should have checked that out ahead of time. That's on me. I'll take the blame.
As you should, Saul.
But we'll talk about next week later, but that's even a bigger travesty on my part. But we'll save that for later. So.
For the end.
Anyway.
For the beginning. Let's talk about some tech tools.
What do you got? You lead off tonight.
All right. I'm going to start it off. This is a bit of a double whammy because a coworker, a biology teacher at school, can you see that?
I do.
Okay. A biology teacher at school was talking about how awesome this site was, which mm-hmm. made me flashback to teaching biology in Kansas and remembering using this site. And then I logged on to Free Tech for Teachers, and like the first post on there was about Howard Hughes Medical Institute. So this is BioInteractive by the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, and they have tons of absolutely awesome resources for the biology classroom. You can pick your topic, and they've got a lot of them, as you can see here. And then anything you choose and you go into, they have not only lectures and animations, but interactive lessons, classroom resources, all sorts of everything you could imagine for the classroom here.
And what's like the age range for these materials?
This could be late middle school if you've got a life science component of your middle school science class, but mainly is geared towards high school science. But there's definitely some stuff for late middle schoolers also. Elementary, right. It might be a little too advanced for. But there are some wonderful resources. It's all free. It's all super well organized, and it's just an absolutely awesome site from Howard Hughes. And as always, we'll send out the links afterwards through Learnist, so you don't have to write anything down.
All right.
What do you got, Saul?
Well, I came across something. I I started to get in the habit of going around in my free time at school and kind of asking, because I have all of the, you know, the language arts apps covered and the web tools covered, as you know, with the being a language arts teacher. But so I like to go around sometimes and ask. I have a math teacher next to me. I have a social studies teacher down the hall that are pretty tech savvy and they're into what's new and stuff. So I just a few days ago went to talk to the math teacher next door and just asked her if she was aware of anything new and hip out there, and actually she told me it was something she had come across at a conference called Knowre, and that is Knowre. And let's see if I can. Bring this up for you. And I had not know too much about this, except that it is a program that does individualized.
Saw you still there. I think we maybe lost you. Saul.
I'm here. I think we.
You're back.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see your screen.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Black.
Now, can you see my?
Nope.
Yeah. Wait for it.
Yes, I can see it.
The difference?
We got it.
Okay. And maybe to avoid any more snafus, I'll kind of just stay on this homepage here. But I can explain anyway. So this program is it began in Korea, which is near and dear to you and I, because that's where we both taught, and we, even though we're from Kansas and taught very close to each other here, we had not met, and we crossed paths over there in Korea. But this program was designed at a private institute over there for young people, and they came up with a way to, you know, to help the kids progress kind of at their own speed and find the level that they're find their ability and help progress at a normal rate, and but also do this in a fun way. So they just designed this program, and you can kind of see over this student's shoulder, it's this little map of what looks like, and the lady, the math teacher described it to me as looking like Catan.
It's absolutely like Settlers of Catan.
But you kind of progress from, it's divided up into units or section, and I guess where that would be, you know, divided throughout the layout of the map there, and you progress from, as you know, as you do it on your own time, you progress from place to place, and it's just from everything I checked out, you know, as far as the price and everything, I couldn't find anything exact, and I'm sure to get signed up for a school or, you know, like a private institute, it might be a little pricey, but it won an award for the best new app, best new program for so far this year, and then there's a New York ed tech conference that went on, and it's highly acclaimed, and it does look really cool. I obviously, from what we know about Koreans and Korean students, the gaming format I'm sure was a big sell in the beginning, and it's bound to be successful over here as well. So I think it's starting to kind of get its footing over here in the American market, and it's really cool. If you're able to check it out with your school, those of you out there, I think it's something that we'll probably be hearing more about in the future. So it is Knowre, Knowre.com. So it looks really cool.
Nice. Yeah, that does look really awesome. Even if it didn't look like Settlers of Catan, it would look awesome.
Yeah, I think it just it allows the students to kind of level up at their own pace, and you know, with their own the time spent working on it. You know, with those kids in the Korean institutes, they're spending hours and hours, and you know, it's a good way for them to those who progress faster than others, they're able to do it without. You know, kind of being separated from everyone else. They're still all part of this little program, so it's pretty cool.
That's nice. I like that.
All right.
Up next, can you see... Oops. Can you see this? Padlet.
Yes.
Padlet, very simple idea. They give you, as it says here on the screen, we give you a blank wall. You can put anything on it that you want to. It's completely free. I've got the gallery here to pull up. This one's nice. But basically, it's sort of like an interactive, multimedia, hyperlinked poster that you or your students could create. You can drag files of any type on here. You can put links. You can put images. You can put videos. And you can design an interactive poster incredibly easily. And so then this one is like bucket list vacations, and you click on it. And another thing I like down here, it shows the source. So if you click on it, it takes you to where the image came from.
Cool.
So you can start teaching your students about like citations and attributions and things like that. But it's super easy to use. You literally just drag whatever you want to put on your wall onto the wall, and it's there. And you've got lots of different backgrounds and things you can choose from if you'd like to. But it's very easy to use, and students could create a lot of different, any content area, even at elementary, middle school, high school, it would be appropriate. The students could figure it out, no problem. And it's great. It's free. It's easy. You don't even need to sign up for an account to start using it. You can just go to the site and try it out and see if you like it.
Cool. I like the citations aspect to it, because inevitably those things come up in any kind of creation that you design for your kids, and something simple like that gets them in the habit of just being aware of the stuff they're using and where it came from. It's nice.
Right. And it's good for teachers too. I've noticed lately that teachers are also really bad, like, we make PowerPoints all the time and we take images from Google Images, but rarely do we put citations in there. We don't always set that example, like,
sure,
yeah, I took this picture from Google Images, I should put a citation under it. So
exactly.
Yeah, and Padlet's nice for that, because it automatically links back to the source, and it's a good feature of it.
Very nice. Well, I'm going to segue beautifully from that to my next item up for bid is this app, a free app called Storehouse. And it is described as being a visual storytelling application for your iPad. Bear with me here. There might be a black screen. Oh, here we go. And essentially, it's just another easy way to put images, video, in line with text, for people to present. The way I came across it was, I was, you know, looking at language arts things, and teachers were sharing how, you know, kids were able to tell stories by using these images or a video even, and it just, I think the appearance aspect of it was very crucial, as well as just the appearance. You know, it's really nice and neat and easy to use, and you know, you linked with, if you see here on the left, with, you know, your iPad camera roll, you know, Dropbox, Flickr, Instagram. So, you know, just being able to drag and drop pictures out of there, and then, you know, it's just nothing different than some other things out there. I know, like, I may have talked about Animoto on the podcast before. You know, just we're always, as language arts teachers, always looking for ways to kind of do presentations or, you know, book project type of things to present the story, and or allowing kids to use a new fun app to do these things. So I thought this was really cool. It was free. I think it's easy to use, and I'm definitely gonna incorporate it here this spring. So
it's yeah,
called Storehouse.
Really,
yeah,
that's really nice. That, like you were saying, there's so many of these awesome presentation tools coming out. Storehouse, and what was the other one? Animobi? Is that what you said?
Animoto.
Animoto is great. Yeah. Haiku Deck is great.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many options, and I think that's great. It's like some students will latch onto one, some students will latch onto another. VoiceThread, there's Prezi, so many options for creating presentations now, and each of them has its own subtle differences, and it's just such a great option for students to explore all these different tools and find the one that they like for creating presentations with.
It's kind of tricky because, you know, like, if the kid to have access to those photos, like, you know, to them having a Dropbox account, or they obviously can't use the Instagram at our school, or I don't even know about Flickr. I don't think kids use the Flickr much anymore. But, you know, so that's kind of tricky.
They're more Instagrammers nowadays.
Right, exactly. But so that's kind of tricky. But just, you know, if it's something they're working on in class and they can save images to their iPad and then put them up through there. So it's definitely doable, I think, and it's just super easy to use. So
nice.
That's a good one.
Storehouse. Well,
that's all I got. Do you want to share with our listeners your big news for next week?
Yeah, next week we've got some exciting guests on the show. Last week we talked about Glean, which is an awesome web resource for finding math and science lessons. And so next week we're going to have two people from Glean on the show talking about the app. The CEO and the outreach director are going to be here on the show talking about Glean, talking about the future of educational technology, all sorts of things in that vein. And so that will be next week. But Saul can't be there.
Because of the sophisticated professional nature of those people being on the podcast, I've been asked to sit this one out, I think. No, I have my second round of parent-teacher conferences will be that night, and the conflict of our schedules didn't work out. But for the good of the pod, I said, hey, I will take one for the team and sit this one out. And
for the good of the pod.
These people could only, you know, time was an issue, and, you know, for the good of the pod, I will sit it out.
It's going to be a good episode. I'd also like to point out that we have one viewer right now. My guess is it's Mr. Kevin Matuszewski, and I could be wrong, but whoever that one viewer is, thanks for tuning in.
We appreciate it so much.
Yes, absolutely. So that'll be next week, and if you have any questions you'd like to ask the Glean team, send them our way, and we'll make sure to get them on the podcast for next week.
I will definitely do that.
Anything else you'd like to add?
That's it. Good information. I love it. Good to be back in the pod routine.
It is. All right.
Hey, man.
Well, that brings this episode to a close. Thanks for watching. And we'll be back next week.
See ya.
See ya. Little bit.